T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'd like to get off now. I'm not having any fun.
Dale Arnold.
You know, I don't know. I just want the ball. I felt good. And then for us to lose, you know, it just sucks.
Personally, I felt Blake had done his job.
You know, it's not Blake's fault. It's not Blake's fault.
Rich Keefe.
Talking to other teams about trading Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, I don't know anything about those.
I mean, otherwise, we're just talking about a lot of fake news here.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
To Betts. High fly ball left center. There it is. Goal!
I'm so proud of him.
And it's been a blast.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us. Before we turn our attention back to the World Series, we mentioned that this week you're probably going to see more deals being made in the NFL because of the COVID protocols and ahead of the trade deadline next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati Bengals had told Carlos Dunlap to stay home. Well, they just traded him to the Seattle Seahawks. According to Adam Schefter, the trade will be official after 4 p.m., so Carlos Dunlap from Cincinnati to the Seattle Seahawks.
Anybody with any potential defensive ability needs to go to the Seahawks because they can
yes.
use it. They are a Super Bowl team, but their defense is so bad. So anybody is an upgrade over whatever they have right now.
Their secondary is actually getting healthy now, too. So they got their 4 studs back in the secondary.
They got dudes there. Good chime. They do have dudes there, but it's been bad early. And you watch that Sunday Night Football game, and it was like,
they don't have anything to give up for Gilmore, do they?
What do you mean?
Like, as in a first. Like, if the Patriots are holding out for a first.
I don't think they're getting a first.
I think you're getting a second, most likely.
I do, too.
For Gilmore.
I think.
But just in case they shot the moon, like, if they wanted to go for it all.
Yeah.
They don't have any first to give up, so you'd have to take a second.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you hold out for a first?
I would try to get a first, but I wouldn't just be left there on Tuesday with no deal because I was holding out for a first, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I'll take the second,
Stephon Gilmore saying, I just sold my house.
A nice house, too.
Like, yeah, well, I can get you a flop house in Franklin.
This is getting awkward quickly.
Sorry.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, that took a turn.
All right,
so let's go back to last night. The World Series champion was crowned, the asterisk champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. I feel good for Mookie Betts, for no one else. By the way, Magic Johnson has now been part of world championships in 3 leagues.
He's killing it.
One, obviously, as an NBA player. Owned the Los Angeles WNBA team that won, and is one of the owners of the Los Angeles Dodgers that won.
The rich get richer.
He does. Now, he probably should send a box of Cuban cigars and a case of champagne to Kevin Cash, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. Manager's too good a term for this. I mean, what did he manage?
This was so bad. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, what is the job of the manager now? All they do is take their cues. Some teams more than others, but a lot of managers across baseball now, it is, all right, what do the stats tell me? Here's my, I don't even create the lineup anymore. I'm just told, I get a spreadsheet. I see who's on the mound. Oh, is it a righty? Is it a lefty? All right, here's our lineup. We go on that. Doesn't matter if a guy's on a hot streak, cold streak, doesn't matter. Here's our lineup. When do we take a pitcher out? Does it matter if he's, like, unhittable to that point? Nope, because it's the third time through the lineup. That's what happened. Blake Snell was dealing last night. He had given up 2 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts, no walks, and he's in the sixth. A guy gets on base. God forbid a guy gets on base. He goes, oh, my God, Mookie Betts is coming up. Mookie Betts, meanwhile, has not hit lefties all season very well, like a 531 OPS, and yet he takes out Blake Snell because, well, it's the third time through. Mookie Betts barely made contact in his first 2 at-bats. In fact, Betts, Seager, and Turner, we'll get to Turner later, but yeah. Betts, Seager, who was the MVP of the World Series, Blake Snell was making those guys look silly, but God forbid, a third time through, apparently that's when they would figure him out for sure, and you had to take him out. And it was one of those ones where it's not revisionist history because the run came around to score. As soon as that move happened, everybody said it was the wrong decision.
Well,
it was.
If you were following on Twitter, it wasn't just, you know, Twitter followers, Twitter people like us. It was players. It was, you know, people who follow the game for a living.
Everybody.
It was unanimous. What are you doing here, Kevin Cash? Now, you may not like Blake Snell. He sort of said some stupid stuff at the beginning of this whole thing. But he was dealing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction as he saw Cash coming out of the dugout, as Fitzy pointed out, a little X-rated, but I don't blame him.
Oh, fudge.
Now, the converse could have happened, though, because this could have been something like we joked earlier about the gif of Mike Mussina telling Joe Torre to, like, sit your ass down. But you could have had an incident. They talked about this morning on our sister station down in New York, WFAN, where you had Terry Collins allow Matt Harvey to talk him into staying in against the Royals in a pivotal game for the Mets in 2015.
Right.
And he decided to not play the statistics and the analytics. He trusted his gut, said, I think I need to pull Harvey. He's given up a few hits. Harvey talked him into it, then got hammered.
Right.
They lose the game. That
right.
sets the trend the wrong direction. They lose the series.
But this would have been much, much worse if they got out of it, because then there's just more evidence on the biggest stage that you got to do what the computer says. Right? If Blake Snell comes out and the bullpen shuts it down, I still think Blake Snell would have gotten out of it. I think the way things were going, I think he would have, and maybe it changed him for the seventh inning or whatever. Oh, by the way, 73 pitches is what he was at.
His
when he
lowest
got
pitch count of the playoffs.
Right. And
was still humping it up there at 95, 96 miles an hour.
And correct me if I'm wrong, did he have like a 230 inning regular season and then like a bunch of complete
games
in the playoffs?
He was totally baked.
They all had like 10 starts, and then they barely use these guys in the playoffs anyway because they have such quick hooks. I thought it was so bad, and I thought it was good. Now, not that there's going to be this big swing in baseball where all of a sudden they stop paying attention to so many stats, but hopefully managers remember this, because you can't tell me that stats aren't at least affecting how you view baseball. I think for some, it has completely ruined it. I don't know if it's enhanced it for anybody outside of one of the greatest cowards of our time, Keith Law. Keith Law last night, Dale, tweets this. Somebody had to send me the screen grab because,
Fitzy,
as you know, he blocked me a while ago.
Fitzy, oh, really?
You haven't been with us for a while, for very long. This is one of Keith's, you know,
Keith,
all-time opponents.
Is this called Keith's Beefs? Is this the segment?
This is Keith's Beefs. And Keith Law is ruining baseball and therefore ruining America.
One game at a time.
One game, one tweet at a time. Now,
somebody
had to send me this screenshot, thanks to our friend Nick Fryer, because, again, I'm blocked and cannot see
his
tweets.
Woke us all up at midnight to do it, but thank you.
I was watching the World Series, so it was fine. John was taking a little snooze. He says, this is Keith Law, this is really great. MLB having two people on the national TV broadcast discussing how, quote, the numbers have ruined the sport. How can you argue, Keith, that they haven't? So, because your computer tells you to take Blake Snell out after the third time through the lineup, even though he's made Mookie Betts and Seager and Turner all look foolish in their first two at-bats, you take him out and that's good for the game? Or all it is home run, strikeout, walk. There's no play. There's no action in baseball at all anymore. And that is traced back to the numbers. Guys line up in the spot where they know guys are going to hit it. All the shifts and just nobody cares about striking out, or nobody wants to just get a base hit anymore. It's the three outcome baseball that is directly due to numbers. That's affected how people view the game. It's not as good as it once was.
Guys swinging out of their shoes on every at bat.
And I try not to be one of these, oh, it was better when. Like, everything was better when. Because I think, you know, the NFL to me is better now. I like points. I like yards. I'm not a big defensive guy. I like the passing in football, so I think that's better. Baseball, you can't possibly tell me it's better now than it was even 10 years ago.
Last night's game was ding dong or whiff.
How many strikeouts?
27.
20?
There were 54 outs recorded in a complete baseball game to decide the, shall we say, like 40% World Series champion. So 50% of the outs gotten in the game were by the punchado. At this point now, we have not only downgraded a once great product to the point of unwatchability at times in what is now considered a regional sport, but now we are removing the one aspect that we all love to connect on, the human level, because we can just now, we can have laser strike zones, lasers.
Lasers.
Freaking lasers. And maybe we can also have robo managers. Maybe we can just have them come
reached
73 pitches.
Yep.
It is now time.
Strike three.
You must come out. does not compute.
Please now return to your seat in the dugout.
Like, just so bad. And Blake Snell is their best guy. So it's not even like some rando was having a good game. No. And you're like, the wheels are going to fall off at any second. Blake Snell's their guy.
Rich, he was dealing.
He was dealing.
He was absolutely throwing gas last night.
Including the three guys in the order, which Cash specifically took him out for. Those guys might have looked worse than anybody against Snell.
And Mookie, who's had a problem with lefties all season long, had to be doing celebratory jumping jacks as he's watching the pitching change. Say, wait a minute. I've already struck out twice against this guy. Mm-hmm. You're bringing in a righty to face me? Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's what's crazy, too, is like, so that must have been one of these, like, stats vortexes where they don't know what to do. They're like,
no.
Wait a minute. He's
gif of John C. Reilly.
He has a 200 batting average against lefties. We're taking out a lefty. What are we doing? And then what happened? What did Mookie Betts do as soon as Snell came out of the game?
Rifled one down the left field line.
The next two at-bats, smacking the... Yeah. Had one of those in there as well.
Just spanked that one off of Fairbanks.
Just brutal.
But can we all just, like, before we get back to Cash bashing and then get to the inevitable Turner 19, can we all just walk back the whole, like, there you go, Red Sox. See, Mookie goes to L.A. Look, Mookie was 6-for-26 in the World Series. Like, he was great in the NLCS.
But two Yaya ding-dongs.
Yeah, two Yaya ding-dongs.
He had a very good playoff run.
Yeah, he had a good playoff run, yes. But he didn't single-handedly, like, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
No, he wasn't the World Series MVP. No.
Until Marcus Betts.
But
no, come on.
But he had a good postseason.
Good. He had a very good postseason.
And he has a couple of pretty important hits last night.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good player. And he's young, I know. And yes, everyone was like, look at these stats. Look at his accomplishments. He's only 28. Ha ha. Suck it, Boston. I get it. But he didn't do it by himself.
But not only does Mookie Betts win a World Series right after you trade him away, but the guy that you traded for and then backed out of the deal is pitching for them in the World Series in a clinching game. Brustar Graterol, you have no pitchers to speak of.
Yeah, we didn't want him, though. We don't want him.
In this entire organization. And they're like, wait a minute. A couple of people in the media called him fat, so now we're going to back out of this deal and we're going to ask for somebody else. And the best part of it is the Dodgers made a separate deal with the Twins in order to complete the deal with the Red Sox. And the Red Sox backed out of the deal for Graterol, but the Dodgers said, oh, we'll keep him. we can use him.
Oh,
Twins.
This guy can throw.
Twins, our deal. Our deal's fine, Twins. RJ, don't worry about that. We'll use him. He'll be our future closer. He'll be our setup man this year. Throws 100 miles an hour, and then he'll be our closer for years to come.
Good news for the National League. This Dodgers team is set up to run it right back next year. I think the Rays are going to be around for a while. But when you have a bullpen, I know the ghost of Kenley Jansen will soon be gone, baby, gone. But Urias and Graterol alone,
darts.
If they get to the bottom of the seventh, yeah, toast.
It's over.
Yeah, Ginsburg.
Uh-huh. So 10 minutes ago, the Los Angeles Dodgers issued the following statement. Quote, "This season was everything we believed it could be. It was just missing one thing. The best fans in baseball. While the wait for a world... Wait. It gets better. While the wait for a world championship is finally over, a celebration worthy of our great fans and the city of Los Angeles will unfortunately have to wait until it is safe to do so. We can't wait to celebrate together." Somebody want to point out that if it's unsafe to celebrate with your fans right now, it's probably unsafe to unleash a player without a mask on the field amidst his teammates and everybody else who just tested positive for COVID-19?
I don't give a
Was that in the statement, or they were just talking about the parade?
They seemed to left that part out.
Was it like font 48 in all bold, too?
Yeah, that's what it really sent the message home.
The delivery was emphatic.
IOU parade is what they basically just gave out there.
Yeah, if you went to bed early and don't know the situation, it's a little puzzling to begin with that the Dodgers got a test back on Justin Turner in the second inning.
I blame baseball for that part.
Yeah,
of it.
Oh, yeah.
How is that even a thing? We'll get the results back. Fingers crossed. That what if like Snell and Mookie Betts and like all these guys are like, oh, we got to take everybody off the field in the fifth. Like once the game starts, that's it. I don't need any more results. Come back to me tomorrow.
If I get the Rona,
yeah, there you go.
So it was a test that was a bit. We're not sure. It could be false. So we want you to rush through a second test. And Justin's just going to keep playing. Okay. So the eighth inning comes along. And Andrew Friedman has to go down to the dugout and tell Dave Roberts, you got to take him off because the second test is positive and he's got COVID-19. They take Justin Turner off. They take him to the doctor's office in the clubhouse and they isolate him, which is what you're supposed to do. Then they win the World Series. And Justin Turner says, hell, I'm 35 years old. I'm a free agent after this season. I'm probably never going to get this opportunity again. I'm going out to celebrate with my teammates. Now, he had a mask on when he first went on the field. And then he decided, masks, schmask, I don't need this. He takes the mask off. He gives his wife a kiss. I understand. He wants to pose for the team picture. He's got the mask off. He's sitting beside his manager, Dave Roberts, who also doesn't have a mask on, by the way, who's a cancer survivor. He had Hodgkin's lymphoma a few years ago. He, thank God, survived it, made the turnaround. Oh, by the way, there were pregnant wives on the field as well. Wives of players who are with child were on the field. Not only were there wives and obviously team personnel, there were media people, there were camera people, there were reporters, there were Major League Baseball officials. So Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, and stadium security all went to Justin Turner and said, you got to get off the field here, pal. You got to go. And he said, nope, not going.
Yeah, that is weird. I don't know how you don't have a bouncer available? Like, just somebody some big brute just to be like, you're coming off.
Well,
the field.
Justin Turner's a big guy.
Well, so are these bouncers. Yes, you see some of these guys?
He just finished guarding the wall. I understand.
They need Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse.
Yeah, totally. Dude, Justin Turner, not that big. He's 5'11", 200 pounds.
Yeah. Hey, he's smaller
me.
Than me.
He's me.
He's still.
Trust me, if somebody wanted to remove me from the field, they would have no problem.
But he still lived on the other side. This is a new Mike Clevenger. Like, is this, Dale, would you put this along the lines? Like, I remember how mad you were about what Mike Clevenger did, putting Terry Francona at risk. I think maybe it was you who named him the new worst person in baseball.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So now what does this say about Justin Turner to you?
He doesn't give a damn about anybody.
Do you think his teammates knew, like, all the guys on the field?
No, they did know by
obviously
then.
Dave Roberts did.
No, they did by then. Okay. By the time they got to the end of the game, word had filtered through. What the hell did you take Justin Turner out for? Well, he tested positive for COVID-19. He's in isolation in the clubhouse. So they all knew.
Weird.
Now, they're defending him. They love the guy, evidently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and they're also probably confused as hell as how he could get it. You know, like if somebody got it in the NBA bubble, now I feel like that was more secure. So was the NHL one. Nobody did. But if they did, you're kind of wondering, all right, did you break protocol or did it somehow get in here or what happened? So they seem to be on his side. But the reality is, first of all, how does Major League Baseball allow test results to come back in game? That's insane to me. Is that how it's always been going? And they've just been getting like the go ahead?
Yeah, they had 58 consecutive days
of
all negative tests.
But were they finding out the fifth inning? Like, that's so stupid.
Well, it was second, I guess.
Or you know what I mean? Like, in game?
Supposedly, the test results were coming back early evening, quote unquote. And that's what happened here. Now, early evening in this case happened to be the second inning. Maybe early evening was before first pitch most nights. Didn't matter. They were all negative. Everything's fine. Go ahead and go. But now, all of a sudden, in the middle of a game, literally, second inning, yeah, this is a bit inconclusive. Rush through the retest. And now we get to the eighth inning when they say, yeah, he's got it.
Can you imagine if the same way Bud Selig conferred with the umpires in the 2002 All-Star game, and they said, like, because we have no pitchers left, tonight's game is a tie. And everyone in Arizona was like, boo! This is garbage. Can you imagine if they were able to figure out that not only was Justin Turner COVID positive, but they had figured out, like, via contact tracing that he'd been around so many people that
everybody in the Dodger bubble, everybody.
Why didn't they stop the game?
Yeah, good question. Like, if you're going to announce
because that Rob Manfred was praying they would A, get it over with, and B, the Dodgers would win.
Yeah,
because
guess what?
Yeah. If the Rays won, they weren't playing Game 7 tonight.
Yeah, probably
Imagine
not.
Imagine having to wait 2 weeks for Game 7.
A series so exciting.
I mean, they were that close to it happening, too. I mean, who knows? If Kevin Cash keeps Blake Snell in the game, we might be talking about what do they do with their scheduling? What happens next? That was Kevin Cash.
the Dodgers are happy about Kevin Cash, but not nearly as happy as Rob Manfred is.
Oof.
Not nearly as happy as Major League Baseball.
And like, Kevin Cash is really happy about Justin Turner.
Well, he also does have that a little bit because he's stolen some of the headlines away from Kevin Cash for sure. But, I mean, they really had quite a bit of a mess potentially on their hands.
So apparently whatever protocols Major League Baseball has in place gets chucked in the garbage can when push comes to shove. Because, okay, we'll take him off the field. He tested positive.
Well, so
we
yes, yes now, and no. Like the because, they did take him out of the game. Like,
so you're going to tell me they couldn't keep him from the field?
No, I think they could have. I'm telling you, you don't have a security guard? They could just like physically remove him? Would have been no problem.
They took the protocols. They balled him up. What's your phrase? They shine him up, turn him sideways.
Yeah, you easily could have gotten him out of there. They were just hoping that he'd be an adult about it. He wasn't, and they're like, all right, well, we're not gonna fight you. Now, the NFL, meanwhile, they had more to gain paying attention to baseball than the other two sports based on the way the regular season was played.
Yeah,
but I guarantee you, football does not have in their testing protocols. Hey, at halftime, we find out who's eligible for the second half. That's basically what this was. So you think you get to the Super Bowl, and they're like, Tom Brady has it, so looks like he's coming out. No way. As soon as the guys are active on Sunday, they're not hearing about a result until after the game. And that's how it should be. Let's face it.
Like that, timing was curious. It was
so
really,
stupid.
In the middle of the eighth inning, he gets told. Like, if there's any question, he should have just been kept out of last night's game. Period.
Or see, what do you do?
Or in the second inning.
Or the game was at 8 o'clock. Everybody get tested when you get up in the morning. We're going to have your results back, whether it's the rapid ones or even the ones that are a few hours, whatever. We'll have it way before you even show up to play.
Yep.
So when those guys that are all taking batting practice, you know at that point, everybody's all set.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, when are we going to get the results back? I don't know, like 8:39. It's like, well, the game starts at 8. Yeah. It should be fine, though. Well, they're in a bubble.
Where are you going to be? Are you active? Are you playing tonight? Where are you playing? We have to send someone to second base. I'll tell you, it would be pretty interesting, though, if the NFL did have something where they find out, like, tune in for the second half. Will Tom Brady pass his COVID test and be able to take the field and hold this 17-10 lead?
You just have a science, like a white lab coat. A scientist come out, and he's like, here's the big reveal. Like, all clear.
When we come back to Fox Football Sunday.
Yes, that'd be great.
They had a nightmare last night. And I probably should stick up for Rob Manfred for one brief moment here. Only in this regard, not because of how they handled it, because they didn't handle it right. His issues with speaking post-game, and I saw where Twitter was exploding about this last night. What is he, hammered? What is he, drunk? Somebody want to check on this guy? It's hard to do what he was doing. And Fitzy's probably spoken in stadiums before where your voice is coming back at you a second or two after you speak it.
Yep.
It's hard for trained professionals to do it. The fact that every time Robert Kraft has spoken after a Super Bowl, it's had that same effect on him where he's had a hard time handling that whole thing.
It has nothing to do with anything I drink during
exactly.
the game.
We are all patriots.
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest Rob Manfred, knowing that he was probably going to have to go out on the field after the game, was probably not going to go get a snootful during the game. I don't think he was drunk. I don't think he was hammered. He just had a hard time with the microphone and the speakers.
I bet as soon as he heard about Turner, he started pounding down. Like,
where's the LaFroy 18? Get me the LaFroy. Jonathan!
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tommy Curran at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
That's you, Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
I've been sending Fitzy my picks, and I've been on a heater.
Funny thing is, he's been DMing me picks for weeks.
Stop.
I mean, not those kind of picks.
On WEEI.
It's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get this season completed, but obviously we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Wait, Dale, you think he wasn't Klaus von Hammerstein?
Hammer. I don't. No. Hammer. I don't.
No.
I've never heard somebody more hammered.
Hey, listen, Kevin Burkhardt. You don't know me.
Put your hands off me. My God.
Oh, my God.
Like, you might have to speak after the game, sir.
Which is why I don't think he was, because he knew that there was a pretty good chance he was going to have to speak.
I think he was
on
just
national team.
Was he just sleepy then?
You think he was tired?
Maybe the game went too late?
He took a nap during the game. Just didn't care.
He's got like a little pen, little vape pen that he was hitting in his pocket. I mean, at least that would have been a much more mellow, like,
stoned out of
hey
his
guys,
mind.
We did it. We made like, and also the way that he spoke to Corey Seager, like he almost couldn't get, like when he was giving away the Chevy truck and speaking to Seager, like he almost couldn't get through that too, Dave.
No.
Like he was a mess.
Manfred seems more like an edible guy than a vape pen.
You think a big edible guy?
A big edible guy. Yeah. Probably had like a nice brownie beforehand.
Don't eat the whole thing, Rob. The whole thing.
Mr. Commissioner.
Took a bong hit with Lyle Collins.
You ate the whole
Commissioner,
thing.
You keep going to this aluminum packet in your jacket pocket. What is that? Are you having a brownie, sir? Side, one time somebody made me a brownie that they told me explicitly, have no more than an eighth of it.
You ate the whole
thing. I had a quarter of it.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
I had a quarter of it. I went to bed after a Celtics playoff game, and I asked my wife, did she see the same curtains that were melting in our bedroom?
like the Shining. Like, no. Nope. Why don't you go to sleep? Sleep this one off.
I actually have some good news for Red Sox fans.
They canceled next year?
I think the good news is hard to come by, but I do have some for you.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Major League Baseball released here in the last little bit 147 players who have become free agents. The Boston Red Sox have three. Colin McHugh, you're probably not as concerned about that. Jackie Bradley Jr. and Rusney Castillo. You are out from under the yoke of Rusney Castillo and all that money that he was making as a member of the Pawtucket Red Sox.
But he wasn't even on the books because they had that loophole back before they canceled it. So he had to stay in Pawtucket, but he actually wasn't on there. Like the reason, the luxury tax, like Mookie Betts isn't here, has nothing to do with Rusney Castillo.
Like,
but that's one of the all-time great failed signings in the history of sport.
I'm trying to think of like the movie, like maybe the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie, where $100 million was worth spent.
was lit more on fire.
Like he never came up and made any impact after all the hype. Like if you thought we got a gem with Dice K, wait till you see this guy from Cuba.
That's one though. I don't hate it. I didn't hate the attempt. Now it didn't work. Like nobody can like it, but. Mm-hmm. There was such a run on Cuban players that the Red Sox missed out on who were great, like Jose Abreu and Aroldis Chapman. And then you're like, you got to take one, but it's obviously going to run out. It's going to run out. And guess what? It ran out.
It did.
Rusney Castillo was no good.
Rusney Castillo was the Nikhil Harry of Cuban baseball players for the Boston Red Sox. Like, there were a whole bunch. Just don't choose this one.
Yoenis Céspedes was another one who was really good. Like, there was a great run
Super
on him.
Super crazy.
And you're like, let's see if maybe Rusney can be one. And he wasn't.
I acknowledged before the World Series started that I was rooting for the Dodgers simply because I was rooting for Mookie Betts. I mean, I didn't really care about either of these teams. And after what I saw Kevin Cash do last night, I was really rooting against them.
Yeah, you don't want that to win.
No,
yeah.
God, no. I was rooting for Mookie, who had a very good playoff run, the entire playoff run, I'm saying. That narrative about, he's a good player, but you know, sucks in the playoffs, well, that's done. That's over. He was a very good playoff performer. You look at his record, and he just turned 28, and he's on the glide path to the Hall of Fame with the types of things he's done.
Oh, for sure.
It's a no-brainer.
Again, Mike Trout's in a separate conversation. Mike Trout.
He's the best player in the game.
And, like, again, might be the greatest player of all time when it's all said and done. Like, again, it's true.
He's so boring, though.
Okay, fine. But still one of the best players ever. So,
yeah,
move him to the side. Uh-huh. Mookie Betts has a chance and might already be the answer for the guy playing at the same time as Trout, who is the best player in baseball for this long stretch. Because now you got a bunch of years under his belt where you're like, all right, this guy is... I think he doesn't have to play much longer, believe it or not, to be a Hall of Famer. Cause for me, anyway, my criteria is more burn really bright for a few years than the Craig Biggio's. Like, Craig Biggio played 100 years, but how big of an impact did he really have? Whereas Mookie Betts, you know, won an MVP, was a runner-up for an MVP, had a couple of other top 10 finishes. I don't know how they're doing the voting and all that stuff for this year, but...
A couple of World Series titles.
Yeah. All the Gold Gloves, all the Silver Sluggers. Like, just the resume he has for this five-year run... He's not that far off from already being like he could be a Hall of Famer and not even play in his 30s.
He's on the books for another 12 years, correct? With the Dodgers?
Oh, yeah.
So he'll be there till he's 40. Mm. He could play at this level for 3 years. He could play a notch below that level for another 3 years. And then he could go full blown Pujols for the last 6 years. And he would be first ballot, one of the all-time best outfielders.
Yeah. Because I think what's going to happen probably, I think you put it pretty well, like, maybe three more years of like MVP level, three more years of like all-star level, and then it's like, all right, what do we have now? Yeah, like the back end, and that's what all these baseball contracts are.
Yeah.
Yeah, smaller. Like all these baseball contracts kind of are that, where you're like, we got to pay a lot, and you know that, but you have to maximize early. And to the Dodgers' credit, year one, you win a World Series. Okay. Like, you're pretty good.
It's already worth it.
Now, I'm sure they want to win a real World Series, too, somewhere along the line. But
well, we were talking about the Brady-Garoppolo decision. They stuck with Brady.
Right.
And after that, they go to two Super Bowls. They win a Super Bowl. You win.
Right.
The decision is you win the decision if you're Bill Belichick. In Mookie Betts' case, you acquire him in the trade. You sign him to the big bucks contract. Mm-hmm. And in his first season there, you win a world title. You've already won.
Right.
You've already, and I don't care if the last 6 years of his contract there, he does suck.
And think about this. The Dodgers, to get Mookie Betts, and by the way, David Price, who opted out of this season, and in the National League, you don't think he can have like a 3.84 ERA next year and be a solid starter for him? Like, he's not a useless player. I don't like him. I've never liked him. But just, that's not nothing. And what did they
give
up? Does
he get a ring, by the way? I was just
Probably. They give up Alex Verdugo, who was good for the Red Sox this year.
I liked him.
But also wasn't really going to play for the Dodgers. Like, right? Yeah. You got Mookie Betts now. You got Bellinger. Like, he wasn't going to play. Then they end up giving up Jeter Downs, which they're kind of loaded up the middle. Like, they have one of their other top prospects is a second baseman. We just saw Corey Seager win the World Series MVP. And then, like, a really low-level catcher. So they didn't even really give up much in order to bring in Mookie Betts, sign him. You win the World Series, and now you have him as your cornerstone player for the next 12 years. They also don't really have bad contracts on their team. Like, some of the guys that they're paying a lot of money, like Jensen and Kershaw, they don't have any more years committed to those guys. They're in a great spot.
And Cody Bellinger is, what, 24 himself?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
He's much younger than Betts. Like, they're loaded to roll for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be afraid of the Dodgers. And then as other teams turn it around,
yeah, Bellinger
the Cubs
is 25.
Are in turnaround. 25. Okay, 25 years old.
Just turned 28.
And Corey Seager's 26.
Yeah, great. And their bullpen, by the way, the last two guys in the bullpen, Urias and Gratterall,
throw
near 100 miles an hour. You've got Fernando Valenzuela 2.0 bullpen edition with Urias. They're set up.
Walker Buehler's not a bum.
No, he's a frontline starter. And Kershaw probably still has a couple of decent years left in him, too.
Kershaw has, like, the playoff stuff, and he had a couple of okay appearances in the playoffs. But his regular season, he was still, like, lights out. Like, it was ridiculous.
Because
you keep
thinking
Steve
Carlton.
Yeah.
He's a giant overhand-throwing lefty. I wouldn't be surprised next year, though, if the Nationals get back into it, because they were just as bad as they were last year, and that's the exact point when they turned it around. So
right.
I wouldn't
be surprised. They could. Yeah. They're talented. Braves are talented, but again, they're missing something. But
and the Angels will continue to collect talent and be a thoroughly boring baseball team in the American League.
Uh-huh.
So we said that technically there's nothing now stopping Chaim Bloom from naming the new manager of the Red Sox. There was kind of a moratorium once the World Series was over, if in fact it's going to be, you know, Alex Cora. His suspension ended last night. I think it was Chad Finn posted this on Twitter earlier today. This wouldn't happen, but if it did happen, and the Tampa Bay Rays said, "Kevin, what are you thinking? We gotta move on," and they fired Kevin Cash today, Chaim Bloom would hire him,
and I would sell all my Red Sox gear.
Chaim Bloom would hire
Kevin Cash. Who's buying it?
I don't know.
Keith might need some of Manfred's edibles.
Yeah, I would. I'd have to dip it. Like, Manfred, whatever you had last night, I'd send it my way. That would be a really hard team to root for. Like, this team this year was, I don't know, I don't even know if people were really paying attention to it, but Cash would find a way to make them more unlikable. Like, if that's how
The way he managed. When he was a player here, people liked him, backup catcher, good guy.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Tim Wakefield's caddy.
Yeah, I mean, nobody minded, but he comes back and manages this team the way he managed the Tampa Bay, not just last night's decision, which was abominable.
Yeah.
But the whole opener thing, and
I don't need to see 10 pitchers every game.
Every
I just don't.
Game.
I don't need to see 10 pitchers every game. You don't need to be like, hey, these are all the guys that we have. Nah, how about three? Give me three guys. Get through the game that way.
It's unwatchable. Why? Yeah. Hey, how come kids get bored watching baseball?
I don't know.
Oh, they're on their seventh pitching change. What inning is it? The sixth.
Like, how much action is there? Like, you take a 3.5-hour game, and you could probably put all of the action into a 2-minute YouTube or like a Twitter video, a 42 minute.
Yeah,
oh, 2 minute.
You might be able to sneak it into an IGTV video. That's a 10 minute limit.
I think you could. Oh, just the action, 100%.
Oh, for sure.
So it's really just home runs or like great plays in the field. Like if you eliminated all the walks and the strikeouts, where do you at? What do you got? Yeah,
not much. No,
not much.
No, you don't have much at all.
No,
it's
hard.
But what's the fear in capping? The number of pitchers you're allowed to use in a game. I know there's the whole, like, a pitcher now has to face three batters rule. Why not, like, max number of substitutions? Like, 11 pitchers in a game sucks.
It does.
It's not fun for anybody.
Not a good
and it lulls the other team to sleep, too, mm-hmm. and it just turns it into this protracted, bloated analytics fest that takes the spirit of the game away.
Right.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dale, when you said that the Dodgers won the trade with Mookie Betts, the thing with fans, though, they have amnesia. Look at somebody like Sonny Michel. We won the Super Bowl with them. Now we're not doing that well. People are complaining, oh, we should have drafted this guy. We should have drafted that guy. It's like, what have you done for me lately?
They should have drafted Nick Chubb no matter what year. This year, last year, two years ago.
But my point is, we won a Super Bowl. It's not guaranteed if we, you know, with Nick Chubb.
Yeah, probably is. Probably anybody, actually.
You just made my point.
Well, anybody could do it.
Stinks.
Wait, yeah. are you comparing Mookie Betts to Sonny Michel? What planet are we on?
My point is, if Mookie Betts stinks the rest of his career, the fans will complain.
They'll forget about
the World Series.
But what chance of that do you think there is of happening?
I have no clue what the chance is. They're not good.
You got a pretty good idea, Mike.
He's had 5 great years in a row, so I can't imagine that all of a sudden he's going to be bad for 11 more.
But, Dale, I'm going off your point. What you said, even if he stinks the rest of his career,
I don't agree with that. Under the premise that Rich posed, that he has 3 really good years, 3 all-star type years, and then 6, they win.
No,
they've already won.
Yeah, he can't have 11 bad years.
No. And nobody's suggesting that.
But the last 2 or 3, yeah, guess what? They're going to be kind of gross, and he's going to be a 38-year-old 150-pound outfielder.
Right.
Like, that's going to be tough to keep up that way, you know. But in the meantime, the next 5 years, he's probably going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
What are the chances, the gambling odds, Shime? You'll be able to chime in here in a couple of minutes. What are the chances we see a bounce-back effort from the Patriots quarterback? We'll talk about that coming up next. Tommy Curran at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Dale.
I'm pointing thumbs, not finger.
Keefe. With Fitzy.
The Tannissance is real
on WEEI.
No, he's setting y'all up for failure. I know what he's doing. And I love it. I love every bit of it. Give you a little snippet. Oh, well, I'm going to lose my starting job. I don't feel so good. You know, if I don't do better. That's good. He's setting y'all up. You know how? Because when he goes out there and he kicks Buffalo's ass, then everybody will be able to say, oh, my God. Wow, that's the Cam that we, you know. And he's putting that pressure to do better on himself.
Keyshawn Johnson, who joined us on Tuesday, as he does every week. I was on Keyshawn's ESPN radio show this morning with Zubin and Jay Will, and he wasn't quite as defensive of Cam on that show as he was on our show.
Oh, you think it's maybe market-based?
It might have been.
Go on in Boston, and he's going to say, hey, I think he's going to be fine. Now, he also did admit, though, that if it doesn't go well this Sunday, then that's it. Like, that's it.
And he even, this morning when I was on with him, he even said that if that happened, if he threw another stinker out there and Bill says, look, we got to make the change, he even admitted, yeah, you probably have to cut him at that point. I mean, you're not going to keep him as a backup quarterback.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine? This is the thing that just blows my mind. So, Dale, you have at September 27th at 4:00 in the afternoon, you are 2-1. You are one play away from being 3-0. Everyone sees you as a contender, far from pretender, not just in the AFC, but overall in the NFL. Cam Newton mania is sweeping New England and Pats Nation around the world. Tom who, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Cut to a month later, and the man is playing for his job. The team,
by the way, he even acknowledged that with Greg Hill.
Yep.
He said, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you know, unless I start to play better, bro, this is going to be permanent.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, how did it happen? He got COVID, mm-hmm. missed the Chiefs game. They got smacked by the Chiefs.
Then he comes back after the game was delayed, and you lose to Denver, who has more injuries than maybe anybody, but San Francisco, who you play the next week, and you looked even worse. And what could have been a must-win, Fitzy called it a must-win. I kind of came around to that level of thinking just because of where you were at in the year, what the upcoming games look like, and also because we've just seen, or you've pushed the Patriots into a corner. How are they going to respond? And it was, I guess, cower deeper into the corner.
And like, now it's a double ultra must win on Sunday.
It's the most must win of all the must wins.
It's the must mustiest.
Now we
win.
Mean it must win.
This is so, a Brent must burger of yes. all. You had, that's you it. Win. That's all there is
game.
To it. Right.
So you go into Sunday's game in Buffalo. The early weather forecasts are cold, windy, wind gusts 45 to 50 miles an hour, which for a team that hasn't thrown the ball very well is not going to be good.
That doesn't matter, though.
Courtesy of Phil Perry, who's at Patriots practice right now. N'Keal Harry is missing.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
I'm not surprised. Well, I'm just saying you got to throw it to somebody.
But him? And, really?
Well,
I don't think he's going to help you. I just don't. Like, it's not. Because also, they're going to have to run the hell out of it. That's what they're going to do. Run the hell out of it and hope Josh Allen makes a couple of dumb decisions, which he's still apt
he's prone to do.
And you're going to have to you know, count, score that way, maybe. Maybe it's a defensive score in this week. They are just the performances from the last 2 weeks where it's one touchdown. They have one touchdown.
Yeah.
It's insane.
By the way, Joe Tooney is on the practice field today.
Oh, good. So without,
which is good news since he left the game with the ankle injury.
So and he'll be on someone else's roster in 9 days.
I was gonna say, he might the team be. That trades for him.
He might be gone before Sunday. So.
It's just mind blowing. And when we had Ian Eagle on just about 2 hours ago, he outlined the whole idea that, you know, and I know we all know this, but it only hits home just like the one touchdown thing when you say it out loud and just like grasp it again.
Right.
This is what Buffalo has been waiting over 20 years for. I don't care how bad their run defense has been, how inconsistent their rushing offense, how erratic Josh Allen's arm has been. Sean McDermott's a good coach. Patriots don't usually go up there and light it up, especially when he's been coach. And now you're going to be playing through the Syracuse area equivalent of a nor'easter. This is what Buffalo has been living for decades. This is revenge. The Patriots could not come
and
in.
And there'll be no fans in there to
gimpier,
see it.
Gimpier, more disabled. No, and you know what's going to happen?
They're going to storm million, in.
5 million reaction videos that afternoon of people trying to jump from their own rooftop onto their flaming tables and the wind blowing them off
and missing
and
the table.
Just landing on the sidewalk.
Well, at least we'll have that.
What a disaster.
So as much as it is a must-win for the Patriots, you guys are right, it is, because they're done like dinner if they lose this game. If you're a Buffalo Bills player, to the point Ian Eagle made, you've been waiting for years for this moment. This moment, they have kicked you in the you-know-what and have, you know, taken your candy away, and they have just trampled all over you, and you're being given an opportunity to be the one who kicks them in the twig and berries. You can't pass up this opportunity if you're the Bills. You think the Patriots are going to be fired up, and I hope they are. The Bills are going to be that times three.
I don't know if the Patriots are going to be fired up.
No, I don't either.
Did you see how they played San Francisco? They got pushed around.
They were
both sides of the ball.
Flat as a pizza box.
Didn't care.
Flat
like
as a ballerina.
They seemed like
they were
disinterested in the game.
None. They had no interest. None.
You know,
and then
fire them up, trade Gilmore and Tooney.
That'll do it.
Get them going.
And Julian Edelman.
Sure.
We'll talk to Tommy Curran about all of that. He's joining us next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.